So today we are going to conclude the series, the first five parts of our series in Mark that concern Palmasola's values. And so I want us to just review those values by reading the list of them on the screen, just in case you have forgotten them. So join with me in reading the first part, and then the values are on the second screen. So here we go. At Palmasola Presbyterian Church, we value Christ-likeness, love, faithfulness, acceptance, and service. And so today, our text and our reflection, I'm really not going to preach a sermon. You're going to be participating more than I'm going to preach, is going to focus on service. And so I invite you now to join me, as always, in prayer as we prepare to hear God's word. Let us pray. Lord, thank you so much for the example that you lay before us. Your humility, your love, your concern for those in need demonstrates for us what it means to live into this value called service. And so we pray, Lord, as we are reminded of Jesus' teaching and of his example, that your Spirit will continue to create in us not only the desire to serve, but the wisdom to know where and how. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1984, Ron and I moved to Hendersonville, North Carolina, when Ron finished his doctorate at Vanderbilt. And we joined First Presbyterian Church right downtown Hendersonville. And as Ron and I were talking about becoming members of that Christian community, we made a very intentional decision that we were no longer going to be takers, but givers. The first 7 years of our marriage in Memphis and in Nashville, Ron and I had been faithful in worship. We had been faithful in Sunday school and in small group Bible studies. We had tithed our income, but we had never engaged in any hands-on service in the church. And so when we got to Hendersonville, we made this clear choice. And as I've looked back to try to figure out why then, right, why did Juan and I sense that it was time to give back and to serve, I realized that it was probably because our young couple Sunday school teacher, Edgar Arnold, who was in Nashville's favorite Bible verse, came from Mark chapter 10. It's a verse we're going to look at in just a second. And so no matter what we were studying in our Sunday school class, Edgar would always somehow come back to these verses. And so I invite you now to join me as we read Mark 10, 43 through 45. And you may read along with me. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For the Son of Man, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and give his life as a ransom for many. It was that verse that Edgar loved. For the Son of Man, Jesus himself, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, came not for people to serve him. He came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. When I think of those verses and think about what service is, we can look at the Greek words that are used there, diakonos, which is the word we get deacon from. You can see that pretty clearly. And diakonos is translated in different ways in the New Testament as servant, helper, assistant, agent, right? Someone who's sent on someone's behalf, courier, who delivers a message on behalf of someone else, deacon and minister, not minister like me, ministers like you, people who minister in the body of Christ. And then the word, the verb that is associated with that is diakoneo, and it means literally like a waiter or a waitress at a restaurant. Someone who waits on tables is, they are diakoneing, okay? If they provide any service of any kind, if they care for, take care of, give care to, that is why Presbyterians call that group of people in the church whose responsibility it is to care for the flock, deacons. And how many deacons do we have here today? I see a few. Yeah? One, two. And so, service is all about thinking of the other person. There is a wonderful example of that in the next little scene we're going to look at in Mark. It actually comes from Mark 1. It's just a 2 or 3 verse scene, very simple, and you could skip over it if you weren't careful. And it's a story about Simon Peter's mother-in-law, which meant, right, that Simon Peter was married. And it's found in Mark chapter 1, verses 29 through 31. And so I invite you now to join me as we read that. Jesus, Simon, and Andrew went to Simon and Andrew's house together with James and John. Peter's mother-in-law was sick in bed, and immediately they spoke to Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and raised her up. That's the same word that's used for resurrection. He raised her up. The fever left her, and she began to serve them. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So Jesus is in this home. They think archaeologists have found this home in Capernaum by the Sea of Galilee, Simon Peter's home. And so Jesus comes into the home. Simon Peter's mother-in-law is ill, and out of compassion, he goes to her, takes her hand, raises her up, and heals her. And what is her immediate response to his gift to her? Service. It's service. And so why? What is the motivation then for her service? Anyone? Gratitude, appreciation, thankfulness. And so she gets up, and just out of joy and delight and thankfulness to Jesus, she turns around and waits on them. So if we put ourselves in Simon Peter's mother-in-law's shoes, think about the things that God in Jesus has done for you. The way he has healed your soul and given you forgiveness and acceptance, and on and on and on. So what then is our response to such abundance of love? It should be service. And the good news is that at Palma Sola, y'all get it. It's good news. And so I want you to take out the little blue sheet that's in your bulletin. We have done our best to identify all of our members and non-members, members and guests, who in the past year have served in some capacity in the church. And do you know how many people that is? Of our members, it's 103 out of 190 members. That's around 52%. And if you remove from our membership those people who are shut-ins, those people who are away at college, and those members who, because of age or infirmity, are no longer able to serve, 90% of our active members are serving in some capacity. I hear people say, you know, there's the 80-20 rule or the 20-80, that 20% are doing 80% of the work. It's not true at Palmasola, folks. You all are deeply engaged in serving in this congregation. And so we want to thank you for that. So I'm going to ask you now, if your name is on the list, if you have served in the past year, and if your name isn't, you let me know, because we want to correct that mistake. And as you stand, Barb and Steve are going to come down, and they're going to pass out a little gift. It's a bookmarker magnet, and it says, we thank God for you. So if you will now stand, if you have served, and choir, of course, you got to all stand. Alexanders, you've served. Even if you're not a member and you've served in some capacity, we want you to stand, and then they will hand out your little treat. See, you're serving one another even as you're giving these out. Yeah, the elders, you're not supposed to take one. We had so many people serving, it's like, oops. And so while Steve finishes handing those around, I want us all to give all these dear servants of God a big round of applause. Just a few more. We couldn't figure out a good way to do this without calling names and taking time, and so we just decided to go with the ushers doing it. So the question then is, so she responds with gratitude to Jesus healing her by getting up and serving, but what can we learn from her about how and where we serve? She does what is natural for her, what is accessible to her. She is the hostess. The most natural thing for her to do then is to serve Jesus and the disciples by preparing them a meal, making sure they're comfortable, getting something for them to drink. And so for us as Christians, the same thing holds true. God calls us to serve in those ways that are most accessible and most natural for us. As Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 12, where we read there are different kinds of service. And so if you ask all these people that just stood where they served, some would be in the choir, some would be as a deacon, some would be handing out bulletins, all sorts of varieties of kinds of service. But the same Lord whom they are serving. Now to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And so when everyone kicks in, the end result is that the church is blessed, that the common good is accomplished. We are also in the process now, as you know, if you've been listening and reading, of working with ministry architects to discern Palmasola's future, to discern who we are and how we can best serve God, not only in the church, but out in the community. And so one of the things we are having conversations around now is, what is our major mission focus going to be? What is going to be the one thing that we invite the entire congregation to be engaged in mission to the community? And so what we want to get from you is some input about the things that you naturally are drawn to in mission. So if you'll take out the little yellow sheet and choir, I think, did y'all get one? Okay. I'm going to walk this through you, and I'm actually going to give you time to fill it out, because I've got y'all all here together, and I don't want anyone to go home and say, oh, I'm going to do that, and never do it. So this is the deal. I want you to look at number one. It says your greatest area of interest for service and care. You get to pick two of these. And we pick topics that we already have people in the church engaged in some way, shape, or form. So for the thing you're most interested in, you're going to put one. For the thing that comes in number two, you're going to put two. If it's tied, just put two ones, right, if you can't make up your mind. But you only get two. You only get two, okay? If there's something that really floats your boat, something that you are really interested in doing as a congregation, and it's not listed there, we've put an other, and you can just write in what that other would be. Once you've checked off or marked one and two under number one, then we want to know how you want to serve. And that's under number two. You can check as many. Do you want to provide prayer support for that mission? Do you want to give time and talent to actually get out in the community and serve? Or do you want to provide financial support beyond your pledge to the operational budget of the church to support the mission? Then on the back, you're going to see just some follow-up questions. If you have skills and life experiences, right, if you're a former school teacher, or you're an engineer, or you have some, you build houses, whatever it might be, but it's something you'd really love to use in serving in the community, then put that under number three. If you have any suggestions as to how you and all of our members can reach out to people in your sphere of influence. Do you know what your sphere of influence is? It's the people right around you whose lives you touch and over whom you have some sort of influence or impact. Can you think of a way that we could reach out, you could reach out to those in your sphere of influence to share the love and care of God? And then any other thoughts, comments, whatever. And then at the very bottom of the page, we want your name, your age, and your contact number, because we want to be able to follow up with folks, either to ask additional questions and get more information, or to find out what particular way they're willing to do hands-on service. So I'm just going to give you a few minutes. Can you imagine Indy shutting up? Yes, Bev. Food insecurity is the term that is used for people who don't know where their next meal. They are insecure in that they don't know where their meal tomorrow, 2 weeks from now, is going to come from. And so that's the terminology for those folks, food insecurity. Any other questions? Some of them are broad. Steve's got, yeah. And Steve, if anyone didn't get one, we have extras. So just take a few minutes, and then I'm going to invite Barb and Steve to come down and collect those, and we'll put them in the pile with all of those from first service. This survey is also in your summer newsletter that just came out, what, this week, Becky? Yeah, they were mailed Thursday. So the survey is also in the summer newsletter. You do not have to be a member to have input. If you're willing to serve, you get some input. So just take a moment now and complete that form. I'm excited. I can't wait to see. When you're done, kind of raise your hand, and that way I'll get a feel for when most folks are ready to. You want me to say something? You want to say something? Yes, okay. Okay. Luke. Mm-hmm. And they meet once a month on a Thursday afternoon. Isn't that right, Jane? Yeah, they're one of our life groups. They're listed in the newsletter on the page, right, Becky? On the page with life groups. And I think it has Jean's name by it, if I'm not mistaken. Everybody about done? Okay, I'm going to invite Steve and Barb to come down and just gather those together. Just if everyone will pass them to the center aisle, and then the center aisle person just hand them over to the Coulihan. This is the shortest sermon Indy's ever preached. It was good timing, too, because I am ready for vacation, believe me. So we will compile these, and actually there was a little place to check off. It got removed. We'll get these compiled in early June, and then we will let you know how it turns out. It's exciting. I just wanted to conclude with a couple of other comments and examples of service. How many of you were at the Pen Pal party this past week? It was a total delight. We had 80 second grade children here, so well behaved. I was in a panic. I thought when they came in while we were getting them to leave with their adults that it would be pandemonium. We decided the teachers must have threatened them with their lives because they were a delight. And then we went down and had a party, and what I wanted to tell you was that the teachers all said to me, You do not know what a blessing this has been. The children have loved it. It's been like a little adventure for them. They want to continue it next year. And so, doing even little things like that, right, turn into a huge blessing to those out in our community. Several weeks ago, Ron and I, on a Friday night, we're usually so tired we just watch a movie, so we pulled up Hidden Figures. Has anyone seen that? Oh, you must see it. You must see it. And it's really a story about service. It's the story of a group of African-American mathematicians slash engineers who worked in the space program in the early 1960s to do the calculations to put John Glenn and all these other famous people on the moon and get them back home. They served, right? They served their country in a way that was most natural for them. They were gifted in math, and so they used what felt right to serve their country. But here's the deal. They did not serve because they got attention and acclaim and affirmation. Because it took 50 years, before these humble women's names came before the American public. That is what Christian service is about. It's about giving what God has given us, not to get the glory, right? Not to be the one whose name's on the screen, but just to serve. And in due time, either in this life or the next, we will hear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I want to conclude, and we're going to use this at the end of the service as the benediction, with a powerful benediction that was written and used every time he preached by the Reverend Dr. Richard Halverson, who was the chaplain to the U.S. Senate. I think it was probably back in the 70s or 80s. And so I'm going to ask Tony to put it on the screen, and I want us to read it together and think about the lessons these words teach us about serving the Lord. Let us read. You go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. God has a purpose in your being there. Christ lives in you and has something he wants you to do. He wants to do through you where you are. Believe this and go in the grace and love and power of Jesus Christ. Amen. Please stand now and sing of the heart of service, which is a heart that is broken by the needs around us. Let your heart be broken, number 429.